In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome back to the U Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. We're here in the new year. We didn't really celebrate on the Sunday special, but today is our first official podcast of 2022. How you feeling?
I'm good. I like the idea of 2022. It's an exciting time. Ready to go. How do you feel?
Onward and upward. I am a resolutions guy, actually. I like resolutions.
Okay, you just changed really quick.
Yeah. I think people hate on resolutions because, you know, social media and people get annoyed that, like, with all people like to, you know, you see a lot of people screaming and not doing on social media. So, like, no one buys it. But I do believe in, like, taking stock and trying to be better than I was last year, you know? Do you have any resolutions, Jordan?
I have the same resolution every single year, and it's always very tough for me. My resolution every year is to... I'm a very messy person by nature, very disorganized and very messy. So every year at New Year's, I say I'm going to be more organized. I'm going to take better care of my belongings.
Love that.
Is my other resolution. Take better, like, just be more careful with them, be less careless... be more organized. I never really do it, but I'm going to try again this year.
Try again. And that is one of those, that's a good resolution because it's like, it's simple. It's easy on yourself. I think people get too hard on themselves with their resolutions. Like, it's like, I got to lose 30 pounds and I'm going to be a billionaire. And if it doesn't happen in 2022, then it will never happen again. You know?
Right. Well, it's hard to measure the mind. They do say the best goals are, like, measurable and time-based. Mm. And, like, that's probably why I never actually do it. But, you know, what's your resolution?
I guess it's like, organization stuff is probably big for me right now. Like, I need to figure out my schedule. But I'd like to, like, make more thoughtful time for myself. I think, like, instead of
self-care.
I think, like, you know, I went when I was we're taping ahead of time, but, like, I played golf. I played golf, but I've never taken a lesson. Like, I never knew what I was doing. And I took a couple lessons while I was in Phoenix, and then I played by myself. I did 18 holes by myself outside, and I really sucked. I was really bad at golf. But it was nice to be outside, have a coffee, sit, quiet, reflect. I don't know. Does this make me sound like I'm 1,000 years old?
No, I think that's great. Like, are you off your phone maybe too?
I was on my phone, but not as much as I would have been. It was just nice to be like, you know, like just like have that moment to just like a good 5 hours of not sitting there, you know, worried about the next joke I didn't write or the next podcast I have to tape, you know?
I think that's a great resolution for you. I feel like you work a lot and the nature of your work is that you kind of work all day and all night.
Yeah.
Like a single mom. So
I am. I'm the single mom.
Yes, indeed. No, I think that, I think that's a great resolution. I think that that's how you avoid burnout, right?
Yeah. I was feeling a little bit burnt out. But the holidays are nice and it's good to just be, it was nice to just be outside and just be chilling. And I think I need some more of that.
More golf.
Yeah, well, listen, people, I am actually, speaking of golf, this weekend, I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Come to the show. It's going to be, my parents are like, we're bringing a bunch of friends. And I'm like, okay, I need the U Up listeners to come to the Fort Lauderdale show to, like, dilute the friends of my parents. So I need people to come on out. So I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I'm also in... Cincinnati, West Nyack, New York, Philadelphia, Sacramento, Hartford, San Francisco, Pittsburgh. So jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com if you want to get those tickets. Bring out the group chat. Assemble that crew. I got jokes up the wazoo. Oh, that's a fun thing to say. Assemble that crew. I got jokes up the wazoo.
Now you sound 100.
Oh, okay.
Wazoo.
Back in my day, we went up the wazoo.
My resolution is to play more golf, and I got jokes up the wazoo.
That's right.
There you go.
Fun ones like that one. You know what to expect. Jordana, what's going on in your life? Anything to report?
Not too much to report. If we're back, I will have been in Miami the previous week. So I, too, will have worked on my burnout, and I'm excited to just relax and chill and be outside. And
beach or pool?
Yeah. Depends on the pool.
Okay. I think.
If the pool is like really nice and has like a great like setup and the food that you can order from there is like great, I do like the pool, but I prefer, it's kind of like a DJ versus band. Like I prefer, unless I have a great, if you don't, for weddings, I believe if you don't have an amazing band, get a DJ because no one plays the songs as well as the original artist.
Yes.
But like a DJ is better than a mediocre band, but a great band is better than a DJ.
I love that. That's a good point. That you're absolutely right. Because these are the shades of life. People don't like to live in context and nuance, but you're absolutely right. Like a great band, you're like, wow.
Right.
Holy shit. But you got to pay for a great fucking band. Like great wedding bands know they're great wedding bands.
Exactly. And there's not that many of them. So if you're not going to have that, I think go the DJ route because there's nothing worse than a band that's like fine. Anyway.
Brutal.
On that note, also with the beach or pool, like I think great pool, better than the beach. Decent pool, beach is better. What do you think? You're more of a beach guy, I feel like, from your Instagram.
I'm a beach guy, but I agree with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think we're in tune because... Okay. There are good pools, but it's got to be the right setup. It's got to be the right special blend vibe, cocktails, music, people. Beach is a beach.
Right. You can't really go wrong on the beach. It's guaranteed to be a particular level of solid.
Yes. Oh. Yes, I agree.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about wasting time in dating. It's a little similar to our one from last week, but I feel like it's a different kind of question. So I'm
the wasting time. It. Yeah, I think it's different to me. You know, wasting time versus being picky is very different. Like,
I think it's the same issue almost from like the opposite.
Let's take a look. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. I'm so excited to see Jared at CB Live in Phoenix on the 18th. Did she see you? She did.
She saw me.
I'm sure you were great. She brought her friend. She hopes you felt feathered.
I feel feathered. I have to say, Phoenix had great audiences. I was really excited by the dynamic of the people living there. It was good for comedy, I think.
I'm sure it is. I mean, we went to Phoenix, right? On our tour? in 2019. That was great.
We went and it was great.
I'm a little confused why it seems like the vast majority of people, any age group, are so concerned with the concept of not wasting time when dating. I saw a TikTok that had questions to ask on a first date to help you not waste time, including asking someone about kids, marriage, are they in therapy, and even what their preferences in the bedroom are. Very TikTok. The therapy thing, I feel like, is very TikTok-y.
The therapy thing is gone. I get the joke. I get what they're doing. It is so crazy to me how widely accepted it is to just like scream therapy at people, but I get the joke. It's just like, to me, like this idea that because you went to therapy you are a better person than the people who don't, like it does kind of feel that way, that joke goes that way. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, I could definitely see that it could be like co-opted, but it's a shame because I do think good therapy is like a hugely valuable tool.
I totally understand that, yeah. But it becomes this like,
I'm saying they're ruining it for everyone. Yeah, it's like the mental health thing.
Right. It's like, you better be in therapy or you're not going to be able to fuck me. And it's like, okay. It seems like a lot.
I can see myself open to answering some of those questions after around five dates, but not date one. I think I would tell the person, you're a stranger and I'm not happy about you trying to get my personal business so fast. For me,
stranger danger.
My personal business. For me, it's less about the questions and more about a stranger thinking they have the right to know these things. Also, I think it really takes away from the fun of getting to know someone organically and naturally if you grill them right off the bat. I don't know if this context helps, but I'm a 30-year-old female, single, and my longest relationship was 8 years. Still don't feel like it was a waste just because we didn't end up happily ever after. I'm curious what insight you two maybe have for me. P.S. The wedding photos are beautiful and I'm so happy for you, Drew.
There we go. I like that. This is a good question. I think it's interesting because it's like it's connecting the online world with the real world. And
like the TikTok world?
Yeah, the TikTok world where 7 things you never do on a date. Like this person's like responding to it as if dates exist the way they're kind of shown on social media, like all, you know, because she's saying, you're a stranger, I'm not happy about you trying to get in my personal business so fast. Like, she would never speak to someone like that. She wouldn't go, stranger, you know, like it would be,
she would just awkwardly avoid the topic. Right.
Yeah, and also, I don't think someone is going on the date with you going, okay, do you want kids? Do you want to move to the suburbs? Are you fully tested? Have you been vaxxed? Let me, you know what I mean? Like, it's not as
neat,
black and white clean. And neat. Yeah. A good date might get you this information.
Yeah.
Like, I think a good date that with a stranger can organically get you whether they want kids or not. And I do think this is all about people saying, what do I want? What, you know, and I think people's time is wasted when they have what they want ignored by the other person.
Right. And also when they're, I think it's a two-way thing. I think someone could waste your time by trying to be, I mean, that's sort of our concept of the fuckboy. Really, the biggest crime of the fuckboy is that they're a time waster, right? Because in our definition, there's someone who's leading you to believe they want things that they don't want. Right.
Absolutely.
Which is wasting your time, which is the biggest crime of all, supposedly.
the clock is ticking. I got to get there. Yeah.
Right. But I think like it's up to the dater to be like, also, like if you're a dater and just also just a person in the world who's speaking to people naturally, like you should be able to pick up on these kinds of things in a normal conversation that isn't an interview style. Do you want kids? When do you want to get married? Like all those things. Like those things do naturally come up in the course of just talking about someone's life.
Yeah. This question is so hilarious to me. Because this TikTok that they're referencing, so including asking someone about kids, marriage, are they in therapy, even what their preferences are in the bedroom. I think these people who are so concerned with wasting time, a lot of times they're not asking themselves what they want. They want people giving them answers to their questions.
Right.
So it's like, this person said, the nicest thing this person wrote was, my longest relationship was 8 years. Still don't feel like that was a waste of time just because we didn't end up happily ever after. That's a healthy person who knows what they want.
Right.
Like if you get out of an 8-year relationship, you go, you know, that wasn't, and you're, and you look at it as a waste of time. That is someone that didn't give you what you needed. And when you look at it and you go, well, that was a learning experience and I enjoyed it. And now I know what I want even more so than I did before. Okay. Well, you're acknowledging that you're part of this too.
Right. And I think she, like, by saying like, everyone seems to be obsessed with not wasting time, it's kind of like, I don't think that's the case. I think it's more like people want people, like we say, like owning your standards and trying to figure out if someone's on the same page as you or is willing to meet you there. So I don't think the idea of saying, you know, I don't think these are any topics to avoid.
No. But the point I'm trying to get at is that the people who claim don't waste my time are often people who don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and say what they want for fear that someone will dump them for what they want.
Right. Well, those are the things that last much longer than they should last, or the people who are just kind of like trying to not rock the boat because anything is better than feeling lonely.
Yeah, so then they go on a date. Then they go on their next date, and they go, "If they're in therapy, then I'm good." You know, it's like what,
like, right?
You know, they're like nipping around the edges. They're like chomping around the edges of actually getting to what they want. So when you say like, "Are you in therapy?" It's like, okay, well, that must mean this, and must mean this, and must mean this, and must mean that I won't get fucked over in the future. And it's like, right. Wow, you've really made a mathematical equation to like come to some conclusion instead of saying, hey, have you been in a long-term relationship? I want a long-term relationship.
Yeah. Which I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that though, too.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I think I think a lot of these are in place of, hey, right. I want this.
You need to find this out in order to, I agree. It's like finding out this stuff is also not going to save you time. I don't think like if you ask it in the way that the TikTok is presenting that you ask it in an interview style way.
I want kids too. Like I want kids. I also want to have casual sex.
Right.
You know, both can be true. Well, the rule's been debunked, I guess. Like, you know, like the criminal is always ahead of the cops. You know what I mean?
Well, I think these questions are probably helpful for someone who's like, who doesn't know, you know what I mean? If someone is looking for a long-term relationship and they want to gauge and they would like the person they're dating to know that, these questions, again, I don't think they should be taken read verbatim on the date, but I think there are things that are like, okay, like these are interesting things to ask about. These things might tell you more about the person that you're seeing. Again, if you can manage to ask them in an organic way. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the questions inherently.
Totally.
But I agree.
You're totally right. There's nothing wrong with the questions. There's something wrong with getting the answers and then doing this like hypothesis based on the answers. Like,
right.
You know, answers just can't be given. Like, we get this question a lot where it's like, they wrote on the dating app that they're looking for a relationship. They checked that box. So I thought they were looking for a relationship. It's like, no, you didn't want to hear answers to your own questions.
You're trying to avoid pain by picking trying to get like an algorithm based thing that does. And that's not how it works.
It's not how it works. Like, you know, I remember I would do this when I was younger. Like, you know, if they text me back, then I'm good. Then they like me. It's like, well, okay, I guess. I don't know. Like, that doesn't, you know, how about I text them and say, hey, let's go for a date, you know, and hear the answers to my questions.
Right. And then I can judge them based on like how they're answering my questions as opposed to like trying to impress the person that I'm with. So I think that like, the wasting time thing is like, if you don't take it too seriously, is a nice little guide. But I think this person's getting offended by it. Also a bad sign.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. And also looking at these things through like that, like these dates are total interviews. Like, it's just not how it works. Like, you can ask a good question. Listen, do you want kids is not the worst thing in the world to talk about on a first date.
I don't think any of those topics are the worst things in the world to talk about on the first date. If brought up, correctly and it's going to be messy. Like the way you get to these things are not like some clean, like, again, like you're not sitting in an interview checking the boxes and then like checking to see which ones they take off. But yeah. I think it's nice to go in with a sense of like, when you're dating, if you've come out of something, what would I like in the future? What would I like to know about this person that will help me find out if they're a good match for me? And those questions might not even be the questions that you care about. But I think it's okay to like have a sense of like, what would I like to find out about them?
Who's their therapist? What's their number? I'm going to call them.
Exactly. I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness. But I recently came across Allo Moves, and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick me up. Then I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
I'm ready.
UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending yours in. UUP at Betches.com. Hi, J&J. I felt nostalgic after hearing this past week's awkward sex story about fucking on a pool table. During my freshman year in high school, my boyfriend and I would always hook up in his parents' basement because they were way more cool about privacy.
So cool.
Awesome parents. My parents' basement had the small windows at the top of the basement walls, and my younger sister and her friends would spy on us. On a tangent, I did the same once by spying on my little sister and her, and started giving her high school boyfriend head for a split second, and it was traumatizing. I don't know if she should say that out loud. I'm pretty sure I told my mom because she was younger than me and like 13 at the time. So, oops.
I don't know if I would say that out loud either. That makes me uncomfortable. Like,
okay. Yeah, you got.
It's got weird. Anyways.
My boyfriend and I were having a cuddly movie night and decided to get it on, which in hindsight was not good sex, but we were both virgins until we dated. We were both completely naked when his dad opens the basement door, which was thankfully not visible from the couch we were on, and said, "Eric, I'm showing Uncle Kevin the basement updates." They had a... It's such a dad thing.
Oh my God.
Yelling. They had a gym and a pool table in their basement because they were very wealthy. We had about 10 seconds to act on this, so Eric jumped up and ran into a storage closet room of the basement. Well, I just put a blanket over my naked body on the couch. My boyfriend awkwardly came out in a chicken suit costume after a minute later to greet his dad and his uncle. It was the cringiest sexual experience, but we ended up dating throughout the rest of our high school years, and I didn't get the sense of too much awkward tension from his parents afterwards. I'll let Maddie name this one if you read. Okay.
So the guy, like, at first I was like, did he leave her on the pool table? Like, he would just like ran away.
Ta-ta, gotta go.
This was his diversion.
Yeah, I guess. Why the chicken suit? It was just because he was naked,
I guess. And that was the only thing that he had. But to me, like, that would raise a lot more questions, right? I feel like but the interesting thing to me is, like, what did he say when he went out there in the chicken suit?
Yeah,
what was
I wanna
his
know.
Excuse
yeah,
what, for that?
Yeah. What was the story he told? Yeah.
And where were you?
Yeah, where you're under the blanket? Like, what was the role play going on?
Right?
Hey, we're just trying on the chicken suit. That's what we were doing. It's high school. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I need more information on this one.
We need less information about you watching your little sister give head and more information about the actual sexual awkward encounter that you had.
Yeah, I totally agree. I need more and less at the same time.
Yeah. Maddie gave some good names. The Cluck Cluck Fuck, Barnyard Bang, Rooster Role Play. I like those. You have any, Jordana?
I call this one the chicken because he was a chicken because he ran away from her and he dressed up as a chicken.
I called it Eric. I just love the stern dad. Eric.
Showing Uncle.
We're coming down. Like the warning. Because the dad knows. Like we all think parents are doofy idiots. But the dad is doing a warning call. Like clean it up down there. You know.
Right. I've got to show Uncle Bob the basement.
Yeah, we're trying. To me, there's another story from the other side where his parents are like, we got to get these two kids off of each other. I'll talk about Uncle Kevin.
That's also a possibility. I like how like having a pool table is now like the mark of wealth on this podcast.
That is the only thing. That you had a pool table. That is.
You're set.
You've made it. For life. Yeah. No college debt. You're on your way.
Yes, having a pool table that your kids can one day have sex on is the ultimate dream.
Yeah, this has taught me to not have a pool table. Like, how many pool games I'd be playing where I'm, like, thinking of, like, young people just all over it. Yeah,
that's all I'll be able to think about.
Yeah. Red flag or deal breaker. I guess there isn't really a red flag or deal breaker. Red flag or deal breaker, they run away from you and save themselves.
That would be the deal breaker for me if he was like, oh, shit, my dad's here, gonna run, and then left me naked on his pool table to be discovered by his father and uncle.
Whoop, gotta go. Yeah.
I would be more impressed. Right. I'd be more impressed if he ran out there naked and was like, go save yourself, change.
Sure, I'll be the distraction.
Yes. I guess that's maybe what he was trying to do with the chicken thing, but I need more information on exactly the logistics of how this went down.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Let's do another email. You ready?
Okay. Dear J&J, longtime listener and fan, I can't stop sharing your podcast because you both bring out such a helpful and fresh taste to dating in 2021.
Well, thank you.
Please come to LA to do a live show, I'll jump right in. Maybe we will.
Maybe.
My boyfriend and I have been dating for almost 2 years. For reference, he's 27, I'm 26. In the first few months of dating, he mentioned that he has an ex that still calls and texts him every 3 to 4 months to catch up. It's kind of bothered me, and I expressed that I thought it was odd, but overall let it go because he said he had no interest in being with her. He just wanted to stay civil and not act like an asshole by ignoring her. Apparently, she doesn't have a lot of friends and family and just moved to our city when they met. They dated for less than 6 months, and it didn't seem that serious based on what he's told me about their relationship. They broke up about a year before him and I started dating because they just weren't a good match, two different people, his reasoning for their breakup. About 6 months ago, she called him when we were together and told him she was thinking about him and just wanted to catch up. I was pretty upset by this because we had been dating almost a year and a half at that point, and I felt like it was inappropriate to continue communicating with an ex just to catch up while being in a serious relationship with someone else. I explained I was upset that he clearly hadn't set that boundary with her, and she must feel like they are still good enough friends to keep calling him while he's dating me. I expressed I felt like he kept communicating with her, so he had an option to get back with her if things between us ever ended. He assured me that that wasn't the case and said he would set the boundary. We didn't talk about it again. Last night, I was over at his place, and after being there for about an hour, he told me the ex had called him again right before I got there to see if he wanted to grab coffee because she was going to be by his apartment this weekend. I asked if they had communicated since the last call about 6 months ago, and he said he responded to an Instagram story she posted about a graduation and told her congrats, but that's been all. I asked what his response was to the coffee inquiry, and he said he was confused and quickly got off the phone, but would text her and say he didn't think that was appropriate and he wasn't interested in getting coffee. I asked why he didn't just say that while he was on the phone with her, and he said he was caught off guard because they haven't talked since the last call nearly 6 months ago, and he was confused. Our conversation spiraled into an argument in which I told him he clearly hadn't set the boundary with his ex, and I didn't understand why he's kept this relationship with her. He said he had set the boundary, but that he would stop talking to her if that's what I wanted. I don't want to tell him who he can't talk to, but I do think it's concerning he continues to entertain his ex. Am I crazy for thinking it's weird to keep catching up with an ex while being 2 years in a relationship with someone else? I'm aware this is coming from my own insecurities and jealousy from being with untrustworthy partners in the past. I've tried to determine what should actually be a concern and what I might be overreacting or hypersensitive to due to my own issues. I don't think my reaction was perfect, and I'm sure I got more upset than I should have because he said he wasn't planning on meeting up with her, but the relationship still bothers me. So my questions are these. Is it appropriate to continue to check in with your ex while they are still in another relationship? Am I overreacting by being upset his ex still calls to check in on him? How can I better explain why this upsets me? Any and all insight is graciously welcome. Thanks for all you do for us clueless daters from Boundaries Betch.
Well, I appreciate the email. We're all clueless daters, I would say. Yes. And to me, the answer to this is about being clueless. Like, it's interesting to me that she immediately goes, you're keeping this as an option so that you can get with someone else. Like, that is so far down the road. And like, listen, that isn't to say that that doesn't happen. That might be happening here, but that's not my assumption here. I mean, like, if you're first,
I feel like we've said that that's a possibility, no, for why guys continue speaking to other women in their lives.
Totally. It's definitely a possibility, but like in this scenario, where he says, I don't want to be an asshole. Like, I do understand that, where you're like, and I know I'm taking the side of someone who's like keeping up with an ex. So like, we're never going to like see a side. I can see how this has gotten away from him, where right. I do see how, like, you know, one thing begets the next. So I do understand where you're in this thing that wasn't really a thing and it didn't really have an ending. And then you get serious with someone else, the next person you get serious with.
Right.
And then, you know, you have no hard feelings of this last person that you kind of sort of dated, and they check in with you and you're just nice enough. And while you're just nice enough, you're also getting serious with someone new, but you don't really say it to the person that you never really got serious with because it feels like it's so harsh.
Like twisting the knife for no reason.
Twisting the knife. And it's also like, I don't know why you and I didn't work out, and I don't know why this person and I are getting very serious.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You know? No, I get that. Yeah.
So you're like, why is this one getting serious and you never did? But I've always been nice enough with you and didn't really care enough to make that serious. And that sounds personal, but it's really not personal. So now I just stay nice enough to this person because I have no reason to be mean. We never really had a breakup. You know, like she's calling her an ex, but I'm saying that he never really even sees it that way. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, you explaining that is helpful, I think.
For
me understanding it, and probably for her and anyone else, I think understanding that, it just seems like you're not like, the way you explained it, it seems very innocent.
And listen, it can run, there's a spectrum. It's very innocent or it's very...
He's looking devious.
Right. But I think both need to be taken into account. Like, yes, he could be keeping her as an option so that when you break up, he can get back together with her and they can live happy ever after. But I'm also like, why would he date you
right.
to also keep this other person around? I think it's more like, I don't want to be a dick to this person that I have no reason to be a dick to. Even when he says in the email.
Why would he tell her? He told her, right? Like he proactively told her that she called.
He told her she called. And that's why I don't think like he sees... And I do agree with the emailer. Boundaries do need to be set, but I think I'm being very empathetic to this guy because I've been this guy where you go, yeah, I'll set a boundary, but I don't know. I don't want to have to like, it's a fight I don't have to have, but now I have to have it.
Right. He just kind of wants to like not go to coffee with her and hope she just stops asking.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And doesn't think he's a dick.
Yeah. Which you I know? Get. I think that makes sense to me. And I think like, he almost hasn't gotten a chance to like, and she's like, well, why didn't you just tell her no on the phone? And he's like, cause like, I chickened out. Like, I just didn't want to do that. Like I understand what you're saying. And I think when you explain it, it actually makes a lot of sense. However, on her end, it could be like, it seems low lift and it seems like it's kind of like, oh, it would just make me feel better if I didn't feel like you were still talking to your because in your head, I feel like, again, there's always this moment when you're in a relationship and you're getting pissed off about something where you're like, there's two people on your shoulders and one's like, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, he's into you. And like, he's like, he told you about it. And like, they don't see each other. It's like once everyone, and the other side, it's like, no, like you've been dating your boyfriend for 2 years. And he's talking to his ex-girlfriend. Like, fuck him. Like, you've got to like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, I could see why she feels like, I don't want to be like a lunatic who's like controlling and doing this thing, but it's actually also kind of annoying and I just wish he would do it so I wouldn't have to stop thinking about it.
Yeah, I you're right. And she's right. Like I do understand those two people, you know, the devil and the angel thing. Because it is, and there is a point where, I mean, I remember being in a relationship and having this talk. Like, why do you have to text them? Why do you have to text this person back? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm being nice. I don't, you know, like I don't, I, you know, and having no good answer, but then also understanding like, yeah, when does life move on from these people that you don't really have a relationship with? Like, I think everyone right now, whether it's dating or not, everyone's texting with someone they really don't need to be texting with.
Right.
Like everyone's texting, keeping up a friendship that's not really a friendship. You know, you know this person for years and you haven't even, like, there's someone you're texting with that you haven't seen in a hilarious amount of time for the amount you text with them. And you don't even want to see them.
Right. So I guess, but it's like, and those most scenarios are not, in a lot of these scenarios, it doesn't really affect anyone else. She's saying, you do this thing, it bothers me. It's almost like, again, and I see her point in the sense, it's like, it's almost more like the fact that you won't do it is more of a sign, is like a more of an annoying sign to me than the fact that it's happening. It's like not almost, it doesn't almost matter that it's happening. It's more like, why won't you just not be texting this person?
That's why my biggest piece of advice is don't make this about him trying to fuck her. Like, I don't think that keeps us on task.
Yeah.
Like, when I read that part, like, to me, she gets away with it where you're keeping her around as an option. Like, listen, if that's the truth, then you're dealing with a liar and an asshole. And, like, there's nothing you can do to protect yourself from being lied to. You could always be lied to. But if you stay in the pocket of what you just said, where it's like, hey, you're not doing anything about this, it makes me feel like less than, it makes me feel like you're making time for someone that you don't really need to be making right. time for. I have to wonder why you need to keep up with this. And also, the biggest part of this email that I would be upset if I was her, he's responding with congratulations. Do you want a relationship with this person or not?
Well, he responded to her Instagram story
her
with
Instagram story.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure when I'm reading that.
I asked if they communicated since the last call about 6 months ago, and he said he responded to an Instagram story she posted about graduation and told her congrats, but that's been all.
Yeah, it's like, he's like being proactive about maintaining this contact in that case.
That's annoying because I listen. Why do and I don't think he thought about it then, but I would if I were her, I'd be like, why do you need to say congratulations to this person? Are you going to plan on hanging with them again? Is your, what, you know, as far as like a person in your life, where do you see them as a person in your life? And he probably hasn't even thought about that. He could go, well, I don't see her in my life at all. So, okay. So maybe this is the first moment that you kind of, I think there's like, I really do believe like there's like, we're talking to so many people right now and it's a little bit of a drug addict behavior.
Yeah, but like, he's got a relationship. He doesn't need to be the addict, really.
No, I know, but yeah. But I'm saying he doesn't, like, he's messaging congratulations, like, for what?
Right, what's the point of that?
Yeah. And I don't think he would have a good answer for that.
Well, that's the thing about also, like, how easy it is to communicate these days. It's like, do you know what I mean? Like, 50 years ago, it's like you'd send your ex a letter saying congratulations on the graduation. Like, now it's just literally like a response. It's almost like it feels like an impulse thing. It does mean a lot less, but it still feels personal. Probably feels personal to her, too, that she's like, oh, he wants to continue talking to me.
And both people have to adjust. You know, she has to realize that it's really easy to say congratulations to just anybody. There are people I follow on Instagram. I'll give you an example. Ready?
Ready.
I match with a woman on Raya. And then on Raya, they give you the Instagram handle.
Okay.
So I get a DM. Hey, you know, we match on Raya. We had like a short conversation. She then DMs me. Hey, I thought this might be easier for us to talk. So I'm like, I'm okay with that. Like, and I respond to her. Oh, nice. You know, whatever, whatever. And then it was like her birthday 3 days later. So now,
what did you guys do?
Well, we went out, we got drinks. I got her a gift. No, but when I saw it was her birthday, I'm like now following the stories because like we've connected in this weird way. And I was like, do I say happy birthday? And right. Because we did have this talk. We are talking because we met on a dating app. So there is a understated attraction there that we may go on a date one day. And I wrote to her story, happy birthday.
Right. But
But I'm just saying, yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
You wouldn't have texted her happy birthday.
It's not like I care about her fucking birthday. I don't even know this fucking person.
Right. But that's the thing. That's the difference, though. I think like you can do that kind of thing. In your situation with him, the stakes of that are higher.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like everything that you do to make a relationship more serious makes the stakes of responding to someone's Instagram story with happy birthday or happy graduation higher. Once you have kids, I could see in her head, it's like, what are we going to like get married and have kids? And he's like responding to his ex-girlfriend, have a happy graduation. And like, they're talking every few months. It's like, when does it end? Do I have to be the one to facilitate this ending? And then now I'm the control freak who's like checking his, making it like, how did you phrase the texting to her to tell her that you're no longer, it's like, you don't want to be that person either.
I would say, but that's the question I would ask him. I think that puts him in a position that's different than, oh, this is an option. You're just leaving open to fuck later. Like he can, listen.
Reasonably defend that, right?
Yeah, he can reasonably defend that. He can't reasonably defend like if you just said why, where does this go? What's the point of this? He would go, I don't, and he'd fumble around an answer, and then you say to him, hey, I don't care that you have friends that are female. I don't care that you have other friends, but it's the fact that this person keeps popping up in a way that I don't know how they become a part of our lives anytime soon if our lives are going to become more and more.
Right. I think that's a great way to put it, because then it makes it about, again, you and what you're doing, not about him and his intentions. And it's about like you and how this impacts your life.
Yeah. And he can refollow her the minute you guys break up and make her an option then too. Like the idea that like
right.
he has to keep this, I don't know. I think he has to get himself off the dopamine drip that this person is.
Well, yeah, it's
offering.
Nice to feel like someone's, I think even if you're not looking to like get back with someone or have sex with them as soon as your breakup ends, it still feels kind of nice to have someone who's clearly like wants to give you a little attention, and maybe that's something he doesn't want to admit to himself either.
Yeah, I don't even think he realizes that. Like, I think it's way more innocent, but that's me giving a lot.
Well, she's asking him to confront that. So I think that this is the time, right? Even if he's not thinking about it, like, she's asking him to think about it and make a choice based on that. So
now it is time. Yeah.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it.
UUP@betches.com. Keep sending these in. We love a red flag deal breaker. Ready?
Ready.
J&J, thanks for always keeping me entertained and educated with your stories and advice. I have a red flag or deal breaker from a previous relationship that I thought I'd share with you. I'll get right to it. My ex-boyfriend refused to take his shirt off. Ooh, a never nude. Okay. Refuse to take his shirt off. I can count on one hand the number of times he took his shirt off in front of me over the course of our 2+ year relationship. Aww. This includes during sex. I would ask him to take it off or try to take it off for him.
I'm just imagining them struggling with the shirt where he's like, leave it on.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like a toddler, but he never wanted to. He wasn't even a big guy. Not that it would matter if he was, but I know he was insecure. Yeah, you think? I empathize with that, but sex just isn't the same when you're only half naked. I don't know. I don't think I realized how bad this was for me until I left the relationship. But it would be a deal breaker for me now. Let me know what you think. Thanks. No more Winnie the Pooh. What do you think?
I feel bad for this guy.
I do too.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you have to assess your own thing. If this is a turnoff for you, if like having sex with someone who feels really sexually confident is like something that is really important to you, then yeah, I guess it would be a deal breaker. And obviously, like a lot of confidence goes very hand in hand with sex. So I can see feeling that way, but I would also feel for him and try to like help him feel more confident before just going right to rip off the shirt.
Take it off. Like, I'm having like flashbacks to going into like dressing rooms with my mom. Like, why isn't it fit? Doesn't it fit?
Yeah.
Like her asking me
so I'm saying,
questions
like,
I have no answers to.
And that doesn't make you like want, like feel more confident. But yeah, with that. No,
yeah. You two fighting at the sides of his shirt to get it off of him. Yeah, I feel for the guy too. There's something up. I mean, for me, it would be a deal breaker. Like if I'm dating someone, I'm. But to me, it would also start at like how you present it. Hey, is there something I can do differently? Is there? Can we?
Right, they would have to want to talk about.
Yeah, and you try and press a little bit, especially if you're in a relationship. You're like, I don't think it would be like the most insensitive thing in the world to be like, hey, I just want to know like if I can do something different. You never take your shirt off. Like, is there a problem I can help with? Because I'm here for you. You know, I think there's a way to talk about it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it would depend on like how willing they were to talk about it. If it, again, how much it meant to you, how much it meant to them. I don't think it would automatically be a deal breaker for me. Well, can I ask the question a different way? Let's say you were dating someone and there was a part of their body that they just like never showed, even when you went out. Like, let's say they were like, they never wore a bikini. Would that be a deal breaker? They just didn't like that area of themselves.
So they would they wear a bathing suit ever?
They wear a bathing suit, but they won't wear a bikini.
Bikini wouldn't. I mean, that's not something. The one piece is hot to me, I have to say.
Right, or they have a certain area of their body. They don't wear tank tops. Let's say, like, there's something they won't wear. Like, well, is this
or they wear all black all the time?
Yeah,
you know, like something like that. I none of that would be a deal breaker for me, but I would like, I don't know, like, it wouldn't be a. It's hard to say that it was a deal breaker because, but I would want to like, if they couldn't talk about it at all, like if I was dating someone who was like, I just don't. I'd be like, right. Oh, okay, something is. I don't think I'm going to be the one to fix this. Or
yeah. Especially like when you're in a relationship, I think that's really like the thing is more like them just being sort of knowing themselves, even if it's something that they're kind of like, this is something I kind of struggle with. I really just don't like this. And like, just them having a sense of themselves and understanding them. And I don't think it's like, oh, you have to be so confident in all your body parts all the time. It's more just like the way their attitude about it and what their journey is like with it.
Yeah, you got to just like be let in a little bit. Like, I think being held on the outside of someone's insecurities, like you don't even know the person. Like, I have plenty of insecurities. I talk about them all the time. And it's like, I make jokes about them to try and like connect with someone.
Yeah, we all have insecurities. Beth, the way you present them and how aware you are of them and how like easily triggered you are by them, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm hanging with Daffy Duck.
Oh, she calls him Winnie the Pooh. Okay. J&J, love the pod. Been listening for years and have seen Jared do stand up in Buffalo and Syracuse. And congrats, Jordana, on her wedding. I got married in August. I have a red flag or deal breaker submission for consideration. One, red flag or deal breaker. They show up to the first date with a big stain on their sweatshirt and make you pay per chicken wing. Background, I live in Buffalo. And of course, wings are a pretty big deal here. Matched with this guy on Bumble, and he suggested a chill Sunday date at Duff's where we can wear sweats and eat wings. I've been to Duff's in Buffalo. It is great. Love that place.
It's great. And what a sweetheart, this guy. Wear
this
your
guy
sweats.
Is like, I am not fucking putting on pants for this date, so she better like this Duff's suggestion. That's how we do in Buffalo. I like the laid-backness of the date, but he took it too far. He showed up looking disheveled, unshowered, and with a large dark stain on his zip-up. Not wanting to leave immediately, I stuck it out and we had a nice enough conversation as he had a good sense of humor. But when the bill came, he counted each wing I ate and made me pay per wing.
Oh.
Oh, wow. He physically touched
25
each...
cent wing tonight? Like, you want to see the bar?
Oh my God, this is gross. He physically touched each wing carcass I ate, calculated the price per wing, and made me pay per wing. Yikes. He also even mentioned, well, you had more fries than I did, so maybe we should split that 60-40. There was no second date. Wow.
Hey, this is, I mean, this is, you know, 10-cent wing night and like the bar, like figuring out what you had.
So many. This is kind of just like, if I figure, literally, like if I could picture like Scrub in my head, it's like, suggest a date where you do sweatpants, shows up like disheveled and looking shitty, and then pays per item that you ordered. It's also disgusting.
The definition of scrub in the dictionary is a picture of this. I mean, it's also like, for me, like even reading this, it feels like it's like a not sunny day in Buffalo. Like I could see the day that this was.
This guy just wants to get some wings.
Just wanted some wings. He's in his sweats. I wonder what he tells people. Like, what's his story?
I mean, would you even like calculate the menu like that if you went out with a friend?
No.
It just seems so, it's like,
throw cards to the middle. Let's get this fucking over with.
Well, let me count how many. Is that a second wing or just a badly chewed off first wing? I'm not sure.
Is that a flat or is that a drum?
This would be worth it for the story, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's do one more.
Okay. Hey, J&J, longtime listener, love you both. I moved to the Midwest for grad school, recently started swiping on the apps again. I matched with a guy, had a great first date over drinks, and wanted to see him again. We started planning our next date, and he asked if I like Italian food. Skeptical at first, because I usually don't like to do dinner for a second date, but also kind of turned on because there's this one amazing, fancy Italian restaurant in a town full of otherwise pretty shitty restaurants. So I hedged my bets and said yes. He goes, great, let's go to the original Cottage Inn. They have the best Italian food I've ever had. After I realized he was serious, I reconsidered everything and can't help but feel a little judgy. Some context. There are like 16 Cottage Inns in this town and about one in every gas station exit on the highway. It's a super, super casual pizza place, like a sit-down Domino's. And also, to be fair, I grew up in NYC. My family owns an Italian restaurant, so I might be extra biased here. But seriously, the Cottage Inn, and also the emphasis on it being the original cracks me up. So red flag or deal breaker, they take you to a tacky chain restaurant for a second date. Or actually, they take you to a tacky chain restaurant for a second date while claiming it's the best food in town. Sincerely, do you want fries with that? Wow, what do you think, Jordana?
I mean, she sounds a little snotty, I have to say.
A little bit. A
little bit. I mean, but that's fine, you know, like we discuss that. But here's the thing. There's a way to approach this that's like, I'm from New York City. I'm in grad school in the Midwest. And like, I understand that not everyone has the same access to all the fancy fucking restaurants in New York City with the long waits and the resi reservations, whatever. I think there's a difference between saying like, okay, I understand that, and I'm maybe judging it, but also understanding. She's like I think she seems like so out of touch in this email because she's like, who could possibly think? It's like, you're in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're out of town.
Yeah. Like, you're the one coming in and like pretending that you like shocked that, and like insulted that someone thinks that what good Italian food to them is not good Italian food to you. But like, you have no, like, you're in there, you walked onto their turf and are expecting them to know, to be as fancy as you are. I think it's like unreasonable on her end.
I am on their website now, and there you can order online, which not
you can
a
order
very
online
date.
From Carbone.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I agree. I think they do have Buffalo Ranch, new homemade Buffalo Ranch. But I will say, you are right where it's like you're on an away game. You have to be nice to the people having you there. You know what I mean? Like, his version of things is so different than your version of things, you know?
Totally. And I mean, I'm on the website too now. And honestly, like, the outside looks normal. It's like a little bit. You know what I mean?
Split like a calzone.
It's not, it doesn't look like a pizza place. There's a more, they have a vegan spicy Mediterranean salad.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know. I just think it's a little like, you coming into that, you know what I mean? You going to the Midwest, I'm from New York. Everything I do and I like is like much more upscale and better than you. And like, it's one thing to think.
It's also the owning the Italian restaurant. It's the family owning the Italian restaurant in, you know, Italian people and they're like, they're known as Sunday sauce. Are a huge deal to them and no one ever has it as good as we do it. And it's a little bit of a,
I think, I think if you're a lifetime New Yorker and they take you to, and you're both, and you're meeting for a date in the West Village and they take you to Sparrow, that's a different story. But like,
well, also she got ahead of herself. She goes, we started planning our next date. He asked if I like Italian food, skeptical at first because I usually don't like to do dinner for a second date, but I also kind of turned on because there's this one amazing fancy Italian restaurant. It's like, you got too ahead of yourself. You set up an expectation that he could never really... Second date, what do you think? He's taking you to the fancy Italian place? No, you're going to the Cottage Inn.
Yes, your you're second date. You're getting drinks. Second this isn't your birthday spot.
Yeah. Like you created a scenario where you could only be let down. That's the problem.
I agree. I think that this, while it might be, while it's okay if it's like a red flag or a deal breaker to her, I think that she, you could still have your standards and be more down to earth.
Totally. It's okay. Listen, we solved dating. We solved dating again, Jordana. We did it.
I'm so proud of us.
A new year, new us, same pod. Please, everyone, go share. Let people know. Send in your emails, uup@betches.com, and we'll be back on Sunday.
Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to uup@betches.com. Betches.